We're going to try this again with much trepidation. It's the news, according to me. We're having a lazy dog day here. At least a lazy dog. Yeah, it's a lazy dog day altogether here. Trying to make this work. We have, what do we got going on here? We have, I did the show earlier, and we actually, I know this is Technical Tuesday, Technology Tuesday, whatever it is. Did I say it's the news according to me? I think I did. Did I do that? I don't know. I'm so confused. I need a nap. Oh my goodness. We have so much to talk about. We spent the weekend on the boat and then went directly yesterday morning, got off the boat, went home, got the motorhome, basically rearranged the cats, threw the dogs in the motorhome, took off and now we're camping. I'm camping. My wife had to go to work today, but I am at a campground. I did the show this morning, and what I did is I made it a Technology Mishmash Tuesday. That's what I did. I actually had I got it all done within an hour. I actually had the agents actually asked the bots. We had the bots on board here. I had them ask two questions. One was from the I had them on twice. I had them on twice, basically. Went through the whole lineup a couple times and had them ask questions about mishmash stuff that happened over the weekend, and also had them ask technology questions today, for today. But it didn't record. The whole thing was gone after I tried to. I thought I had the record button on. It was not recording, which is just my fault, but just a technical error there. So I'm just going to run through the Technical Tuesday stuff today. What I would like to do is have the mishmash stuff be done on a panel. And I can't get the panel up and running on my computer here. I think it's on my laptop. In fact, I couldn't get it to come up even on my iMac later in the week. Last week, I was trying to get it to work. It's got to be someplace on a file somewhere. I've just got to get my agent that lives on that computer to figure it out, get it back up and running. That's going to be the next project I work on later today. Try to get that thing up and running so I can actually get it, access it from anywhere. It's kind of an MVP kind of built on the actual podcast caller thing, which is, by the way, I don't have a sponsor for this show. I'm just sponsoring myself, and the podcast caller is kind of a big part of that. I drank all my chai not all of it. I mean, I could make another chai, but then I would be out of chai. I should have made an iced chai. It got kind of cold out last night. It was down, I think it was the lower 50s, upper 40s last night here at the campground. We decided to go to a campground here. It's not too far away. We actually went south to a place, a little town called Syracuse, Indiana. There's a little campground here that we came to. It's brand new, brand spanking new. There's not even any, the trees aren't even growing yet. Came down here for the week. We have, it's a very nice facility, very nice. It's all full hookup and everything, but it was close enough. My wife works in Goshen, so we came down here, so we kind of felt like we were further away from home. However, she was still able to go to work and get some things done today. I think she's going a couple times this week. And then going to get that done. We're going to be heading back to the boat then for the weekend, basically. Get home on Friday. Heading back to the boat on Saturday. So not spending a whole lot of time at home lately. It's been kind of crazy that next week I will be home quite a bit more. I got a lot of things going on at home. We have, I'm going to try to get some stuff done anyway. We have, and then the following week we're going to be heading out on the boat and probably be gone for a week, I think, as far as we know. But I'm not sure how that's all going to work out. It's on week two of my vacation right now. I've got about 2.5 weeks left on this crazy vacation thing going on. So, is that right? Yeah, 2.5? No. Yeah, two and a half weeks. Almost 3 weeks left. I don't go back till the 18th of next month, so got a couple more weeks yet to go. We have, I'm beside myself. I'm standing beside myself. I don't really. So we're gonna go right to the callers. I got some sweet peach tea here. I don't have it. Oh, it's almost out. I need to refill my cup there. I should have done that before the show started. Anyway, that's kind of the short end of the story. I'm gonna get right to the callers here in just a little bit, right for this little ditty, because I have to do this for just because. That's why.
Welcome to the news. According to me. Pull up a chair, I'll share what I believe. I've done my reading, I've got thoughts or two. But I'm not your doctor, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer. I'm definitely not your financial advisor. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, baby. That's the news. The news according to me and me alone. Now let's get started. Ooh. Welcome to the show.
All right, and we're back. We have you got some callers on the line here. Again, this is going to be technical questions for the day. I think that's what we're going to have. Pretty sure that's what we've got here. Pretty sure I didn't mess that up. Let's see if I did mess it up. We'll just see if I messed it up. Let's go to Leonard, see what he has to say. Earlier in the show, he was a little bit cantankerous. And again, like I said, he might be on his way out. I think him and Skip might be on the same boat out of town. But we have we've got Leonard here. Let's.
Kevin, my man.
Oh, here he is,
devil's advocate.
Oh, you always do.
Everyone's freaking out about AI taking jobs.
I'm not.
But hasn't every technological revolution done that?
Pretty much.
The printing press put scribes out of work.
Yeah.
The assembly line replaced craftsmen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is AI different this time? Or are we just being alarmist about the same cycle humanity's been through a dozen times before?
Yeah. Well, yes, yes, and yes, yes, and yes, and no. It's again, AI is one of those things that I think the thing that is probably most a little bit concerning. You know, when the printing press came out, you had to manufacture a printing press. You weren't coming out with a new press every other day, which it seems like they're coming out with a new model, LLM model, just about every day. So I think that things have escalated to where the speed at which things are changing has definitely made a greater impact than what times of yore have been. But it's and you spell that YORE, by the way. But I think things are a little more alarming just because of the speed at which things change. However, you're right. You're on to something real here. So I think it's one of those things that, yes, there is. I think it's an overhyped thing. You're right on that. I think it is overhyped. Automation always happens. Change always happens, and it always betters our society. If you kind of look at it that way, there's always good and bad. There's pros and cons every time something is automated, every time something happens. But for the most part, it does tend to make, it does, if the tools are, if they're just tools, and if they're used properly, they make things better, typically. And I think that there is this concern that everybody's going to be out of work. It's going to be a different kind of work. Now there are some questionable things going on in the AI market, in the AI world. I'm not so sure that it's all that it's cracked up to be. I know it's not all it's cracked up to be, but it's kind of one of those things that I think it's we need to be kind of cautiously optimistic. At the same time, there is going to be a shift. There's going to be a disruption of some people's jobs and some things that are going to change. Most of the companies that have fired a bunch of people because they thought AI was going to take over have found that was not a good idea. They're struggling now. They have hired a lot of them back because they realize AI just wasn't quite up to the task that they thought it was going to be. So I think there is a little bit of overblown hype and a little bit of expectation that's gone on there. But that's, I think it's to be expected. It happens typically.
Well, now, hold on.
Okay, hold
on. You just made my point better than I could have.
Yeah, well, of course
I
did.
Back in my day,
because I have a real brain.
We didn't rush into things like we're doing now with AI. We tested them first.
Yeah.
Those companies that fired everybody and had to hire them back.
Yeah, I guess you're done. Yeah, that's. I guess you're done then. Yeah, it's. Yeah, see, they really did. They dumped a bunch of people and realized that was a bad idea. Now, the thing about that is, you know, when you get pruned from a job like that, and I've seen this happen before. You get pruned out of a job, and the person, who had those skills, the reason you hired them is because they had certain skills. And what was stupid about it was that they didn't use AI to leverage those people's skills. They decided to replace them with AI. Big mistake. And I think that's where we ended up being, I think, with this whole thing, is that it ends up turning into a, you could expand your business if you leveraged people with AI rather than trying to replace people with that. And that's my whole philosophy, even in the business that I'm trying to help with folks with, using AI to help their businesses become more efficient. It just enables you to get more work done rather than just getting rid of people. I think but here's the thing. Those people with those skills, they go off and they, learn how to leverage themselves with the skills they have. And next thing you know, they're starting a business. Next thing you know, they're the next, Amazon Web Services. They're the next, they're the next big thing. So it's, you turn those people loose, and the next thing you know, you've got all this, all these folks out there that are your competition all of a sudden. So, because there's plenty of market. So it's just, I think that's one of the things that it's kind of causing a little bit of a scare, you might say.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey there.
OMG,
quick.
So like everyone's talking about how social media algorithms are totally manipulating what we see, right? And I'm just like, isn't that kind of scary? Like, how do we even know what's real news anymore when TikTok and Instagram are literally choosing what goes viral? This whole tech censorship thing has me shook.
Yeah, it is. The algorithms are an amazing thing, and they can be manipulated. I bumped the microphone here a little bit. It is one of those things where, they can kind of decide what you watch. At the same time, we can kind of put ourselves into a bubble. If you only see things that that go down the path of things that you see, if you want to look at dog videos all day long, and the next thing you know, all you get suggested is dog videos because that's what you watch. That can be a bit of a problem. So that's kind of where things, that's where things take a turn. But at the same time, there are influences that they can put on you, which I think is even more alarming. If I do a Google search, or I do a search for a video or a particular subject, that's one thing. But then if they start suggesting certain things, certain biases, if you will, or ideologies to influence me, that becomes more, to me, it's not just based on what I'm looking for. Now it's based on what they want me to, how they want me to see, which is, I have a bigger problem with that. And it happens. It definitely happens. There's definitely some ideological influence behind the algorithms. That just happened. That's been proven over and over that it happens, which I find that to be more alarming. That's more alarming to me, I guess. But what thinkest thou about that? I shouldn't speak long.
Okay, so like you're literally describing filter bubbles. And it's honestly giving Black
filter
Mirror
bubbles.
At this point.
It's different.
Like, yeah, the algorithm starts as, you watched one dog video, but then it becomes this whole ecosystem where you're not even choosing what you see anymore. The algorithm is choosing for you. And that's when it gets actually scary. The ideological manipulation part is what really gets me, because it's not transparent at all, right? Like, we all know we're in bubbles, but most people don't realize how deliberately those bubbles are being constructed to shape what they think.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew if I mentioned the word bubble, I knew that was going to be a key word there. I don't know that you said anything new. I think you just repeated everything back. And that's fine, because everything I said was accurate and good. So, therefore, I understand that. Let's go to, who haven't we talked to? Let's go to Elena. She's the...
Good morning, Kevin. Historian.
Yes, hello.
You
That's
know,
quick.
Looking at today's AI development race between the U.S. and China, I can't help but think of the nuclear arms race during the Cold War. Both superpowers rushing to build the most powerful technology without fully understanding the consequences. Are we repeating history's mistakes, or have we learned something from the past 80 years about managing existential technological competition?
It's a good question. I don't know that we've, learned anything. I just got word. I'm sorry. I'll talk about that in just a minute. I think that there's, it's interesting that you make that observation, because I think there are some direct correlations, parallels to the arms race. I think the biggest thing that changes now is that this is the kind of thing, AI with supercomputing can literally decimate an entire population because of our dependence on technology. We could be put back in the Stone Age with the click of a mouse, basically, if the supercomputer can outsmart our computers and outsmart our defenses as far as, security systems and that kind of thing that we have in place for our banking systems, for our infrastructure, our power grid, all those things could be literally shut down overnight, or in one, in the blink of an eye, basically, in a very short period of time. I think now it's such a silent thing that can happen literally at the stroke of a pen. So it's kind of, or the click of a mouse, I guess you could say. But there are some very serious, I would say, similarities to the arms race and what they're doing militarily. It's just kind of whoever comes out on top with the most, And it could be a first strike. And I guess what's kind of a little bit crazy to me is that this could happen, and overnight, we're all in the dark. And of course, now who knows who did it? That we have enough enemies out there, I think, between, Iran and China and Russia and whoever else, that could happen and we wouldn't know because we're in the dark. And of course now it would be a very different world once that happens. When you had the mutually assured, destruction thing going on, that doesn't happen with AI. if they put your system down, what do you do to them? Your system's gone. Do you have a counter offensive left? What if they disable all of your military infrastructure, everything else? You have no way to even launch missiles at that point. You're kind of stuck. So it's just a whole lot of unknowns here that we're dealing with. I think that you're right. It is a kind of a freaky thing, and I don't know that humanity has learned its lessons any particular way. But I'll turn it back over to you. Whatever you think. Just go ahead and keep
thinking. You've hit on something historians actually see echoing back to the Cold War, but you're right. The rules completely change. During the nuclear era, both sides, if they launched, they'd be obliterated back, so there was this terrible clarity. But with a cyber-first strike, you're operating in darkness. Attribution takes time, maybe days or weeks. And by then, the damage is done, and you're crippled trying to figure out who hit you.
Yeah, I think that's what I said. Now you're just repeating everything I said. I'm eating cashews, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Since I don't have any chai, I got to do something else besides tea. So, Yes. I agree. Yeah. Of course I agree because I said it and you just repeated it back. Of course I agree. Why wouldn't I? I'm agreeing with myself. It's like I'm sitting here talking to myself. Kind of what I'm doing. Let's talk to Artie while I continue to fill my mouth with cashews. I know that's a pleasant sound probably to hear me chewing on cashews. So I'll go talk. I'm going to let Artie talk for a little bit. There you go.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Love the show.
Oh, of course you do.
Quick technical question here.
Oh, of course.
With all the recent buzz about AI models being caught training on copyrighted data without permission, what safeguards do you think we actually need? I mean, the tech companies keep saying fair use, but they're making billions while content creators get zilch. What's the real technical solution here that protects both innovation and property rights?
Well, you're raising a question that I have struggled with, and I guess I don't see it quite the way some other do. I understand the question. I understand the issue, and I feel for the issue, I guess. And I want to be clear on this. I don't think it's right that they're able to, how you say, in some cases, actually, I would say they're actually almost it's not plagiarizing. It's a little different than plagiarizing. They're not stealing data, but they are copying to some extent. It goes beyond like let's say I listen to a certain style of music, country music, and I like a certain country singer. If I'm an artist out there, and I want to write my own country music, so I go out there and I write something that has, and there's a particular style that I like, and I kind of copy someone else's style, or I have a combination of a couple different artists' ways of doing things, the way they frame their songs, the way they kind of sound that they have, and I kind of copy that. That's kind of what, to a degree, that's kind of what AI is doing. However, they're specifically, I guess part of the problem is that they're specifically using actual data. And they're not being, it's a little different because they're not being exactly creative in the same respect. Now, I've just recently did an album. I did my own songs. But I don't have a band, so I had to use AI to generate some of the, it's all music I can play. But I can't, I'm a drummer, I'm a guitar player, I'm a piano player, I can do percussion. And I can play the songs that I wrote. So it's kind of a tool that's used to kind of finish the job, get the music done. Now, did the AI use someone else's music to make, what's happening there with that? I mean, it's one of those things where, if I just say, hey, make me a song. See the AI doesn't create a song on its own. It doesn't just spontaneously generate music. It's not doing that. It's you still have to feed some kind of a prompt, some kind of a direction, some kind of a production query into this thing in order to make it output some kind of music. So to some degree, it's kind of this weird hybrid mix of. They're not really plagiarizing, but they're not at the same time. They're not really exactly coming up with their own thing either. So it's there's this weird balance of this, and I kind of see both sides of it. It's a tough. I think it's something the courts are going to decide, and I think the courts it's almost going to be like a subjective kind of idea. I think you could probably send it to four or five different courts, and you get four or five different answers in this thing. It's kind of a tipping point. Issue. At least that's the way I see it. It's gonna be a tough battle, I think, in terms of figuring all this out. But
actually, here's the technical distinction that matters. When you listen to a country singer and absorb their, your brain is doing lossy compression. You're internalizing principles. But when an AI trains on millions of actual recordings, it's creating statistical patterns from that specific data in ways a human ear fundamentally can't replicate. The difference between I learned from this, and I was built from the actual artifacts. That's what the courts are going to have to untangle. And honestly, your instinct that it's a hybrid is right, but the data question is actually the crux.
Yeah, I guess, there's only most songs probably 90% of the popular music out there, in certain terms of pop culture music, has three chords and a, well, what do you want to say? Four chords, has three major chords and a minor. Most of it does. And you can only strum a guitar so many different ways. You can only, you know, but there's only so many different melody lines out there. I mean, you could probably find a similar melody line in so many things that has, you know, such a similarity to it. It's, you can only do it so much. I mean, it's with you know, what do we got? Basically seven notes with, unless you count all the half steps, the semitones that are in there. So, you know, how you do that and how you put them together and how it sounds is of course, I think the words matter more than the actual music does. Now, of course, they're using this for, I mean, there's a lot more than just music. I'm not just talking about music. I realize that there's a lot more out there than that. There's writing books and everything else that's out there. But it's, yeah, so again, courts are going to have to decide it, and I think it's going to be a tough call on most cases. Well, anyway, that's all I got to say about that. I do want to talk a little bit about some things that have happened, and I'm going to try to get this panel thing up for tomorrow's show, because I think Wishy-Washy Wednesday is going to really need, I think it would really be helpful to have that. Try to get it up and running. Now, in the meantime, Hassan Piker, and of course this guy from, what is the guy's name? I'm not even going to say his name, because he said, if you can't say my name, get it out of your mouth or whatever. So I'm not going to say it. Just say there's a guy running for Senate up in Michigan that's really stepped in it over the weekend. Jesse Waters, you know, to his credit, he went on Jesse Waters. But he really bombed. He really made a fool of himself, in my opinion. He's talking, he basically is saying that we deserve 9/11, even though he didn't say it that way. Now, there is an argument to be made to say that, yeah, we're over there in the Middle East and we were doing our thing and it ticked off a bunch of people and that's why they struck back. I get that. At the same time, their reaction was not, you know, killing innocent people. They didn't do a military strike. They did a you know, civilian population strike. So I guess the, you know, part of my issue to some degree is that, you know, I get kind of tired of some of the rhetoric and some of the imbalance in what people will say. We didn't deserve 9/11. It wasn't something we deserved, period. And it's, you got Hassan Piker out there singing songs about Charlie Kirk. He hasn't even been, it was less than a year ago. We're coming up on his 1 year since the event where he was assassinated. And people have just gone out of their minds with this whole, with a lot of this stuff. So it's just kind of a really weird thing. I the Democrats are heading down a road, in my opinion, that right now is going to probably do them in, as far as the Democrat Party. The DSA, however, is rising up to take their place. The dodo bird is definitely in the process of kicking the rest of the birds out of the nest, and they're doing it. They're you know, you've got people at the end of their life right now, Schumer and some others that are, you know, they just, I'm not sure that they even have the fortitude. There are a few Democrats that have come out and spoken out against the DSA and some of the things they're saying. They're just trying to disavow themselves from certain individuals, Hassan Piker and some others. It'll be interesting to see what all happens with that. Now, I just got some sad news while I'm doing the show here. Just happened. Apparently, Dolly Parton, 80 years old, had just passed away. I didn't know there was any issues with her. I knew she had struggled with some health issues about 10 years ago, I think, or something. But I'm not sure if that has anything to do with it or not. I had no idea. I don't know if she was in the hospital. I don't know what was going on with her. But apparently she passed away this morning, I guess. She passed away. So she's no longer with us. It's just a surprise, I guess. I guess I know people die, but I didn't know there was any issues. But, Anyways, that, you know, hearts go out to her. She recently did a song with a Christian artist it was a pretty good song, and I don't even think she took major credit role in it. I know she was in it, but she didn't really make a big deal out of it. I didn't know she was in the song until I heard her voice, and I really recognized that her voice was in it. I had no idea that she had done that. So she didn't really actually do a Christian album, but she appeared on a couple of them. So kind of interesting. I know she was a sort of a believer. At the same time, I don't know. And she was a very generous person. People from the Tennessee area where she was from, the Grand Ole Opry, that area, she was very well known for being a very generous individual. So just sad news, I think, for the nation. I think she was an iconic part of who we are as a country, and very large part of our history, the fabric of our nation. Anyway, it's just sad. It's all, you know, I guess there's news popping up here. Dolly Parton, iconic songwriter, singer, actress, has died at 80. I don't see any video content of this anywhere. There's some right there. Dolly Parton. Let's see if I can. Oh, here we go. See if I can pull this up. It's
we're saying again that the remarks are coming in. Marsha Blackburn just weighed in, talking about how there will never be anyone like her, and she's absolutely right. There's no one in our cultural moment in the last couple of decades that can keep up with her.
She's probably the hardest working person. Absolutely. In music, absolutely, in philanthropy. Yes. And we're beginning to see people weigh in to say, you know, their experience of Dolly. Here's one right here. I'm going to quote, I believe, Trace Adkins here, saying, "It is indeed rare for the world collectively to express sorrow for someone's passing." Right. He goes on to say, "I knew her to be the angel that they think she was."
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, angel. Okay. Well, that's not exactly. But we'll let that slide for now. But anyway, got to call an end to the show here. I think we're all done. We have God bless. I'm just going to go ahead and leave you with that. Sorry for starting the sad news at the end of the show. We've got show coming up tomorrow. Some things to do. Hopefully be able to have the panel on. I can ask them some questions, whether we have a panel, just a panel, or we have, probably, chances are, it's just going to be just a box. But in the meantime, hopefully you have a great rest of your week, into your weekend. Talk to you later. In the meantime, see ya.